The voice on the phone was urgent. "I'm in Paris," it said. "Turn on your television." I was at home, in the kitchen, with Barbara, my wife. We'd just finished supper. I'd not drunk any wine, which turned out to be a good thing. I did not yet know it, but the evening was going to be a long one. The voice on the phone belonged to an old friend. She has weathered many crises as a Member of Parliament and a Cabinet Minister, and is completely unflappable, but she sounded shocked. You know what we saw on the television screen, the wonderful Cathedral of Notre Dame de Paris, one of the greatest achievements of European civilization, was on fire. The sight dazed and disturbed us profoundly. I was on the edge of tears. Something priceless was dying in front of our eyes. The feeling was bewildering, as if the earth was shaking. I know the building well. One Christmas, Barbara and I went to midnight mass there. Thousands of people thronged the church. The dim lights cast deep shadows in the aisles. The carols echoed in the nave, and the vault high above us was cloaked in darkness. Most moving of all was the knowledge that our ancestors had been celebrating Christmas this way, in this building, for more than 800 years. I had visited the church many other times. My earliest sight of it had been in 1966, on my first holiday outside the UK. Although, at the age of 17, I'm afraid I was too interested in the girls in our group to pay serious attention to a cathedral. My last had been only 4 weeks earlier, when I had driven along the left bank and, as always, had drunk in the magnificent view of the twin towers and the flying buttresses. As soon as I began to think rationally about what I was seeing on television, I understood what was burning and how the fire was gathering force. But the journalists commenting did not, and why should they? They had not studied the construction of Gothic cathedrals. I had, in doing research for The Pillars of the Earth, my novel about the building of a fictional medieval cathedral. A key scene in Chapter 4 describes the old cathedral of Kingsbridge burning down, and I'd asked myself exactly how does a great stone church catch fire. I had climbed up into the dusty spaces under the roofs of cathedrals, including Canterbury and Florence. I'd stood on the mighty beams that spanned the naves and looked up at the rafters that supported the leads. I'd noticed the dried-up debris that often gathers in such places, old bits of wood and rope, sandwich wrappers left by maintenance workers, the knitted twigs of birds' nests and the papery homes of wasps. I felt sure that the Notre Dame fire had started somewhere in the roof, probably when a dropped cigarette or a spark from an electrical fault ignited some litter, which in turn had set the timbers ablaze. And the damage resulting from that threatened to flatten the building. I decided to share this thought with others, so I tweeted, "The rafters consist of hundreds of tons of wood, old and very dry. When that burns, the roof collapses. Then the falling debris destroys the vaulted ceiling, which also falls and destroys the mighty stone pillars that are holding the whole thing up." That turned out to be about right, except that I underestimated the strength of the pillars and the vaults, both of which were damaged but, happily, not completely obliterated. Here's how the destruction of Kingsbridge Cathedral happened in pillars, seen from the point of view of Prior Philip. A crushing sound made him look up. Immediately above him, an enormous timber was moving slowly sideways. It was going to fall on top of him. He dashed back into the south transept, where Cuthbert stood looking scared. A whole section of the roof, three triangles of beam and rafter, plus the lead sheets nailed to them, was falling in. Philip and Cuthbert watched, transfixed, quite forgetting their own safety. The roof fell on one of the big round arches of the crossing. The enormous weight of the falling wood and lead cracked the stonework of the arch with a prolonged explosive sound like thunder. Everything happened slowly. The beams fell slowly. The arch broke up slowly, and the smashed masonry fell slowly through the air. More roof beams came free, and then, with a noise like a long, slow peal of thunder, a whole section of the north wall of the chancel shuddered and slid sideways into the north transept. Philip was appalled. The sight of such a mighty building being destroyed was strangely shocking. It was like watching a mountain fall down or a river run dry. He had never really thought it could happen. He could hardly believe his eyes.